Tucked inside an old brick mill, a handful of workers meticulously move pieces of material through machines to make long spaghetti-like strings of fabric in crazy quilt patterns of green and pink and blue. The back wall of this room is lined with rolls and rolls and rolls of fabric. And this is your fabric stash?
Yes, so this is all the fabric that we carry for ourselves, and we use it within our own products, whether it be rugs or baskets or bowls.
It's a quilter's paradise.
It is.
Meredith Thayer has been roaming around this rug factory since she was a little girl. Now she's Colonial Mills' chief designer. She grew up with many of the employees here, like Tony Laura.
Tony I've known since I was little. He and I work very closely together on product, on prototypes, everything, and I love these people. I love them.
Laura has worked at Colonial Mills for 28 years. In that time, he's watched technology speed up the process.
Right now, we can produce so fast. Our average ship days used to be 30 days, and everybody was happy. Now, if you don't ship the order within 5 days, it's a problem.
Even with the technology, making a braided rug is complicated. 200 years ago, scraps of old clothing were sewn together and braided into a rug by hand. Today, machines dominate the process. Although here at Colonial Mills, it still starts with a woman sewing together pieces of fabric.
And you can see right here, she's just sewing these pieces together, and these are all the colors.
The craftsmen at Colonial Mills cut and stitch the fabric into long spaghetti-like ropes that will then become braided rugs. They also braid yarn into rugs. Thayer walks up to a waist-high bin filled with spools of minty green and electric-colored yarn.
Sometimes I'll ask some of our vendors for crazy colors like these neons, which I think are crazy and fun, but everybody else thinks I'm nuts.
Looks like a minted dental floss.
Look at this. This is amazing.
Neon yellow.
Neon yellow, yeah.
This neon yarn, the rolls of fabric, most of it is made in the U.S. It's how the owner, who happens to be Thayer's father, does business.
You know, my father has always found that it's very important that we stay in the United States and we source as much as we possibly can from the United States.
People have asked me why I didn't, over the years, you know, opportunities to manufacture offshore, and I've just never had a desire to.
Maintaining control of the product from start to end is a big reason why Donald Scarlatta stays put in Rhode Island.
Right now, I can get up, walk out of my office, go out on the production floor, see what's going on.
Scarlatta has owned Colonial Mills for 35 years. He spotted it for sale in the Boston Globe, got his brother involved, and together they came up with the $3,000 down payment. And then they waved goodbye to their jobs in corporate America.
We felt that braided rugs had been around since the Pilgrims, and the chances are they'd probably be around after we were dead and buried, too.
Back on the factory floor, a machine that fills nearly an entire room sorts hundreds of spools of yarn sitting on racks that climb from floor to ceiling. Carefully selected colors of yarn move through the machine and end up on even bigger spools. And those bigger spools are then sent to the automatic braiding machine. Colonial Mills has a whole row of these machines that make a racket as they whirl spools of yarn up through mechanical fingers that braid the colors into a long rope.
The fun thing about these braids is that you can switch colors out and get totally different looks on every braid. I mean, you can get one that, we have one that looks like a houndstooth or one that looks like a twist, or you can play with color like crazy.
From here, the braided yarn and spaghetti-like ropes of fabric move upstairs to a place where they'll start looking like rugs. Two huge bright green tables line the walls of a massive loft-like room. Sewing machine stations are set up along the green tables. The tables are covered in holes to release a constant stream of air.
They're like giant air hockey tables. They pump out a bunch of air so that they can turn the rugs so you're spinning them easily.
The women at the machines, and it's all women, guide the rugs across the so-called air hockey tables into the sewing machines. Everything at Colonial Mills is sewn by hand. Many of these women have been doing this work for years, and Thayer knows the constant sewing is tough on the hands.
Sewing is one of the hardest things to do here. I mean, the machines move at a pace that is far beyond your traditional sewing machine. They have certain requirements that we have to hit daily and then monthly as far as, you know, what the efficiencies are. And so they're moving fast.
Home decorating took a hit in the housing bust. So did Colonial Mills. There used to be two shifts, now there's one. But business is picking back up, and owner Donald Scarlotta is grateful for the help he got from both the city of Pawtucket and the state.
All of them worked with me during my difficult financial times. So, you know, they've helped me, and I don't know whether it's obligation, but I certainly don't feel the need to leave.
A new product that happened by accident also helped Colonial Mills get through tough times. It started with some woven baskets they made to hold rolled-up rugs at a Laura Ashley store.
And then we got word that they wanted more baskets. And we said, why? What are you doing with them? Well, we're selling them. Oh, you're supposed to be just selling the rugs out of them and keeping the basket full.
That conversation turned on a light bulb. Now, what's called soft storage is about 20% of Colonial Mills' business. The company is putting a modern twist to the traditional braided rug, banking on these baskets, the neon colors, and some funky new patterns to keep the centuries-old handcraft relevant for the next generation of home decorators. Catherine Welch, Rhode Island Public Radio.